Cheers.
Cheers and welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPods audio podcast, wherein we discuss a myriad of topics revolving around console gaming, past, present, and future. And whilst doing so, we drink many craft beers, fine craft beers, and many fine crafted still drinks. My name is Ian Greer, and joining me this week, as always, is... He got it going on in downtown Julie Brown. You know what I'm saying? Danny Gwynn.
I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. Also, hello, podcast people.
Very good. That was a very good intro, Danny. And in this corner, wearing the red shirt and gray pants, James Lambert.
Hello.
Very good, James. This is very indicative of this week's podcast, folks. There's a lot of hype and no delivery. So I would recommend watching the movie The Great White Hype.
That's most of our sex lives, I think.
Most of our lives.
A lot of hype, no delivery.
Yeah, are you ready for this? You ready for this?
I'm tired.
Shut up, James.
Surprisingly, we have a fairly academic topic that we're starting on. And Danny Gwynn, right over there, I'm pointing in audio form. Is going to tell you about it.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about how to capture the next generation of gamers. More specifically, we're going to be talking about the idea of mascots. How useful are they for keeping kids interested? They were useful for keeping us interested. Are we going to keep those same mascots around? Are we coming up with new ones? Should we get rid of the old ones? How should we use those going forward? And we're going to talk a whole lot about those and much more as we get into A Bit Drunk.
Tell you what I'm drinking?
Yeah.
I want you to inform me about the alcohol you're consuming.
Let me know.
So,
hey, yeah, James, what?
You
and I brought some beers this week, but I really like what you brought. What did you bring? What
are we drinking? I brought this beer called He Said. It was brewed and canned at 21st Amendment, which is one of the regular appearances on this here thing that we do here
in San Francisco, California. Right?
In San Francisco, the people that brewed it was in conjunction with Elysian Brewing. It's a Baltic style porter brewed with pumpkin and spices, so it's perfect for all those soccer moms out there,
and college age white girls,
middle 30 aged. White people in garages recording podcasts. It's pretty great. It's refreshing. It's highly alcoholic. And Danny's suffering severely from its effects at this moment.
Like the paramedics are on the way.
Yeah, we're going to pump his stomach tonight.
Yeah, he's
going to pump something. Hey-o! Talking about my dick.
Yeah, which is very tiny.
Yeah, getting a lot of rips.
So, pick up a 4-pack.
It's
in a 4-pack,
awesome.
Not a 6-pack.
This was really
Barbary,
which always
good.
Frustrates me because I want to drink 6, but they only give me 4.
Yeah,
you bastards. This is really good. The label is really clever too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It seems to switch throughout the entire pack. Is what it is. So it's like the two brewers, and depending on what can you get, one is right side up, the other is upside down, and in the art style of what I can only kind of compare to like regular show. Hand-drawn comic book sort of face.
Yeah, a couple guys with some 5 o'clock shadow, and they're touching faces, and they have yellow teeth, and
like a really creepy Finder logo.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a very like sepia palette that they use to like color the
actually. Word. Yeah, actually, both of
good
them
word.
Are. Now I think about it.
Yeah, it's like it reminds me of Dusk.
Yeah,
both of these cans are just look like Dusk. Ian, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Golden Road's Hefeweizen. Golden Road is a brewery in Los Angeles. It's actually this is the second Golden Road I've had today because of a party at work. I had their Pilsner, I believe, fresh out of the tap, which was actually hefty for a Pilsner, which I think we talked about last week. Pilsners get shit on all the time. Obviously, this is a Hefeweizen, so that's neither here nor there. But Pilsner gets shit on quite a bit. But they made a really excellent one. It was like
I didn't feel like I was just drinking like a flavored water. Like, this is like, oh, I'm drinking a beer, and it was very refreshing. This is their Hefeweizen. I believe it's an unfiltered, and comes in a can. It's actually going to come in a six pack. A little bit fruity, got some good heavy state to it. I would say almost a little bit as Hefeweizens can be, because they kind of can be heavy, a little bit ale like, a little bit maybe.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I think Hefeweizens tend to have like a very strong upfront flavor. Like they feel like it's like a very sharp note when you first, like when you take a drink. This is nice because this one's a little bit the back end of it. Yeah, you take the drink and it's smooth up front and it just kind of stays fairly mellow with like a little bit of like a flavor developing as it kind of rolls across your tongue.
Yeah,
no homo.
Good. Thanks for calling that out. And this, I would want to try both of these from a tap in a good glass.
Yeah.
Like from the can, it's like drinking straight. Like everything this week is out of the can. So this is the first, like straight out of the shitter,
straight out of the shitter, and into our cans.
Into our cans, which is also a butt shooting it up there.
Shooting it up
like a blood fountain.
Yeah, we got a very complicated pump system. Been building it for a while.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But James, what have you been playing anything recently? What you been playing?
I'm still on that GTA.
That's fine. That's a game that takes years to like get through, work through. I don't really beat it.
I'm pretty boring this week. I'm just gonna put it out there. I'm boring this week.
It's all good.
I got some games. I've been playing them. I've still been hitting up that PlayStation store for some indie titles, and
there was a big Square Enix sale this week and I bought a lot of shit.
I'm not ready to disclose all of the titles that I've been playing.
That sounds really, I'm really curious.
That's like a
There's
teaser
more
for
there.
Next
no I'm just fucking week, lazy really.
has it been like weird Japanese games, like
just tentacle porn? I'm playing the game.
That's not actually a game.
That's not.
No, that's just you watching tentacle porn.
It's
which is also not weird because every God-fearing American does it, and every God-hating American does it, right, Danny?
Yeah.
You're a statistician. By the way, you're a podcast statistician.
Oh,
what do the numbers say?
The numbers say that 1 out of 1 Americans love tentacle porn.
Yep, there we go.
So is that like all?
So you're not alone.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, almost all of them.
Almost.
I mean, give or take 95%.
Yeah. That's a good margin.
There's a big margin of error with this poll, Ian.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Back to me. Well, I was going to say, Danny, what are you up to?
Oh, back to Danny. Yeah. Back to Danny. Oh, back to Chopper Dan with traffic. So it's actually been a little bit since we talked about what we've been playing. And in that time,
the chopper went away.
I picked up Witcher 3. Which I think I talked about a couple podcasts ago. I played it a little bit more. Fantastic game. Still love it. It's great. I keep getting the shit kicked out of me because I run into areas where I shouldn't be. So that's fun. Additionally, I picked up Journey when it came out on the PlayStation 4 online store.
Yeah.
And I played it in a single sitting.
What did you think of it?
That game is beautiful.
Yeah.
I would call it a work of art. It is amazing. Like, it was a very emotional experience for me. I was playing it online, running around, discovering things, and I was kind of like meeting up during the game. You can meet up with other players one at a time and you can go through the journey together,
right?
And they'll kind of come and go as you disconnect or like lose sight of each other in the different levels or whatever. And at first, like, you start out in the desert, and I met and left like 6 people. I was like, ah, fuck these people. They're taking forever. The hell with them. But then you start to go through, like, you go through this underground area, and you're going through all this crazy, like, you're racing down some dunes, and then you end up, like, you're hiking. Go and play the game for yourself. I'm not going to talk about all of it. This game is seriously worth 2 hours of your life. It is amazing. But anyway, the whole thing, like, you go through this journey, and at the end, I was, like, shouting at my TV. Like, like, no! And
yes!
Then it was fantastic. And I ended up, like, sending a friend request to the person who I met with, like, halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And he and I, or she and I don't know, made it all the way through the game from the halfway point to the end. And like helping each other out and like blocking each other from getting like hurt, but there's like monsters that try to eat you and shit.
Right, right.
And yeah, we ended up like friending each other at the end. Like, man, that was awesome. Very like intense. Like if you kind of let yourself get into it, it's very emotional experience. Great game. Can't recommend it enough. So I played that. And then the most recent thing I've been playing is actually on the iPad. I picked this up yesterday.
What?
Called
this is a console game.
I know. And I don't even like mobile gaming platform stuff. So this is a bit of a departure for me, but I feel like it's to the point where I need to recommend it because it's really fun and enjoyable, and I think people would like it. This is for iPad specifically, not for iPhone, called Loot and Legends. And it is it's basically supposed to be you in a basement with like a nerdy teenage kid playing something akin to Dungeons and Dragons. And like the way that you start the game is you're looking at the box set of this game called Loot and Legends, and you swipe up to start playing the game, and it's like you pull the lid off of the game, and it's got all these little markers that are like cardboard cutouts on plastic stands, and all the levels are your characters, which are these cardboard cutouts, playing against like the teenage kid who's playing the monsters, who are also cardboard cutouts. And It is like a free-to-play game that has in-app purchases, but I've played through the entire first chapter so far. I haven't actually made a single in-app purchase, but it's very fun.
Does it seem like you have to make a lot of in-app purchases to actually fulfill the game?
I don't think so. The in-app purchases are basically like you can buy these treasure chests which contain better loot, but you don't need them. You uncover loot as you go. It will make your life easier.
Yeah.
But you don't need them, at least not so far. And it's very like comedically done. It's kind of like what I think of as like, hey, this is akin to like the experience that any like young tabletop gamer might have had back in the day trying to play Dungeons and Dragons. You know, not much money, just kind of trying to make it work.
Yeah,
sounds fucking intense.
Oh yeah,
was anyone fucking in? Side of tents?
No. These are nerds playing Dungeons fucking. And Dragons in a basement.
Nope.
There's nobody fucking anybody.
No vaginas.
Experiment with each anywhere. Other.
No. They just masturbate embarrassedly in the bathroom by themselves.
Wow. And cry.
Wow, they're just not outgoing at all.
No.
Not even with each, like, didn't try it with each other at all. You're positive of that.
Pretty damn sure.
Missing out.
I mean, they might have hollowed out a Hot Pocket or something. I don't know.
Stuck some microwaved bologna in between some couch cushions.
Yeah, probably.
Mayonnaise!
Something like that. Here I mean, I've never tried that.
I'm just saying. No. I mean, I have.
We know. We asked you to stop doing it when we got here.
Guys, watch me fuck this couch cushion that was more bologna. No. Can we just record the podcast, please?
For the love of God.
Christ.
So anyway, I started playing that.
Yeah.
It's very, there's a lot of humor. It's fun. If you like turn-based tactics games, that's like one of my favorite subgenres of games is like specifically tactics RPGs.
Yeah.
If you're into those kind of games, I recommend you pick this up. It's free. And again, I haven't felt like I need to make an in-app purchase, but if I continue to play the game and I think it's really fun, I might make like a reasonably priced in-app purchase just to support the company because I like what they're doing.
They made a good
game. Not because I'm like, oh God, I can't beat this game unless I spend $15 or something.
It's like, it's impossible.
Yeah, but I might spend $5 to be like, hey, you know what? You guys did a good job. Here's $5.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
Developers.
Dollars.
$5.
So anyway, that's what I've been playing. How about you, Ian?
I'm honestly, strangely enough, I've been sticking with older stuff because I've been kind of rolling through a back catalog. I finished Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo, which would be technically Final Fantasy IV.
Part two.
Part deux.
Or
part
cat.
Part cat. All said and done. And now that it's done, spoilers for a 25-year-old game.
La 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 la.
Everybody shut. Yeah, if you haven't played this game, shut your ears. That game is honestly incredible. It's, if you go back and play it now, like you can get it on the virtual console for the Wii. I'm not certain if they have it on the Wii U yet, but I know they definitely have it on the Wii, so
Wii,
Wii mode. If you go back and play that,
you will have to put yourself into an era where games only had a limited amount of space to communicate what they needed to in that amount of time. And localization has certainly significantly improved in the past few decades. However, this game still has a lot to say. Like, it's... it kind of dawned on me all the things that I did after I finished this game where I was like, holy shit, I started this game as a terrorist. No joke. You start out and you have to go and like burn the shit out of a village.
Sounds good.
And off to a good start. Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, because it starts as a Final Fantasy. You're this high-ranking member in the military and this needs to go happen. And all of a sudden you burn the shit out of this village with a bunch of innocent people in it, and that's kind of a turning point for your character. And significantly, this little girl apparently dies in front of you.
Oops.
Oops. And it ends up, that's not the whole of the story. She's not necessarily dead, etc. And comes back later and actually is part of your party. And extremely necessary for your party. You meet up with several children later on who commit suicide.
Wow.
To save you, to save your lives. These two twin children kill themselves to save you. It turns out the hated villain that you're fighting the entire time ends up being your brother. Like, you have a, like, your goal is to kill this person. And this person has been murdering people indiscriminately. And then you later find out that they are your brother. And there's more to their story than you think. And it kind of dawns on you once you finish the game and sit through that and finish it. The game certainly has a significantly happier ending. I think a lot of it was changed for a Western audience when it finally came over here. The game was actually made easier. Because, I mean, we're pretty dumb. Because
we're so stupid.
And we don't know what's going on. And a lot of the endings, like people who were dead or not necessarily dead, kind of at least at the end. I don't know how much was edited for a Western audience, but at least that came to be true. But it really hit me at the end of the game. Was like, this, I understand why this became such a huge portion of the series. Because I never played Final Fantasy II. Until later on, I played 3, which was actually 6, and 2 was actually 4. I played.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, so weird.
Don't try to understand Final Fantasy.
On the Super Nintendo, Final Fantasy 2 and Final Fantasy 3. I played Final Fantasy 3, which everybody kind of looks back and is like, holy shit, that game was huge and that game was massive. But then I remember a lot of people saying 2 like was ridiculous or crazy. And then played it, and I was like, wow, that was awesome. So yeah, I finished that finally, and I was like, that was well worth the experience. So if you have a Wii or.
You.
Wii U.
or you!
Is it you?
Did I say it right?
Yes. No, very good, James.
No, James. God damn it.
Go and download.
We are you.
Go and download Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo. In the chronology of Final Fantasy, it's technically number 4, but for us dumb Americans, it was number 2.
Like a deuce.
And then I've also been playing Xenogears. I've been trying to shrink what I've been playing, because I started like 6 games at once. I was like, this is a fucking terrible idea, and because I have too many things going on, so I've been shrinking it down. Like, I'm going to finish this game. So now, right now, I'm working on Xenogears, because the Xeno series is not something I've played in completion. Granted, they're not all tied together. Like, Xenogears is not Xenosaga, which is not Xenoblade, but they're all part of a similar universe and have a similar thread of thought. A very complex story, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been playing Xenogears, and that has been awesome. Again, another series that is well worth. If you have a PlayStation 3, hop on PlayStation. It's a PS1 classic. Go and buy it. Or hell, if you have the disc, fire up your PS3, PS2, or PS1, because all of them will play that game. Fire that up and play the shit out of that. Also, break out some psychology textbooks, because they make a lot of psychology, and I would say like world religions textbooks. Because they start making a lot of comments and theories and philosophies about it. You're like, what? I don't get it. And then I gotta go read a book. And then I read up on it and I'm like, oh, I get it now. But yeah, it's a game that's way too smart.
He doesn't really get it.
I don't. But it's a game that's way too smart for me. But it's a lot of fun with a really, like, it's a really cool combat system too. Have you guys played it? Did either of you play Xenogears?
Nah, girl.
At any point? You have both a system where there's like a melee fighting combat, and then a combat where you have your robot, your gear, and you can often switch between them.
Okay.
And they have similar systems but different abilities. So it really, like, you have to plot out dynamics of how a battle would go, like, depending on what you're fighting and what you're doing. Like, you might have an enemy that's too large, but if you're fighting outside of your gear and you beat it, you get a ton of experience. But if you're in your gear, you might just get, like, normal experience out of
it. Now, is that something where you could, like, start fighting it while you're in your gear and then switch to out of your gear to try to, like, to try to game the system a little bit?
No, I think it's smart enough to, like, how you defeated it. Okay. I.e., it's like, if you have a character that lives through the entire battle but then dies at the end, that character does not get experience, that sort of thing. So it's like, you finish the battle
in your gear. But I mean, if you're in your gear and you, like, knock out 98% of the thing's health and you hop out of your gear, you're just like some little dude.
I think out the last 2% of its health. For what I know is when in your gear, there's no way to hop out of it in the battle. Okay. You can only call your gear.
And then you're just in it.
Yeah, and then you're in it to win it. The battle.
You're in it to win
it. In it to win it. So I've been playing them too, and basically at this point I am waiting to pull the trigger on a PlayStation 4. I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready to go spend the money, but I'm kind of just like, somebody
give me a decent bundle somewhere.
Yeah, where I can get, you know,
all. I was looking for that butthole, that decent butthole. Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? It's hard to find a decent butthole.
Yeah, James. Yeah.
Sorry.
Pull the trigger on a butthole.
Yeah, will you?
I bleached it.
Not enough.
I know, but you still don't pass casting couch audition. Sorry.
Casting couch like worm poops.
Cast. So that's what we're drinking, and that's what we're playing. So let me give you the 10,000-foot edge-of-the-atmosphere view here, because that's totally science.
All right, science.
All of us at this table obviously play video games, and play a decent amount of video games, probably not as much as we want, because, you know...
Life.
Yeah, life.
Because adults.
Yeah, we're adults, and such like that. But we've been playing video games for a very long time. They've been kind of a part of our life as both an artistic expression, as well as, like, a consumer expression. Like, I mean, we could probably all think of the times when we were kids, and we would use allowance money or something, whatever money we would have. We would buy a game or a console or something with it. So we've been marketed to our entire lives in many ways. Like, that's how you grasp someone's attention as a company. It's like, especially, it's like, even though, like, we know that video gaming is kind of ambiguous for what age it's marketed at, you can be very pinpoint. Like, you can market to young children, you can market to kids, you can market to adolescents and teenagers, you can market to adults. But in the, I would say the fledgling years of the video game industry, maybe let's say like the 80s and onward, maybe mid 80s and on, like at post crash, thinking like Nintendo and Sega doing their Master System, doing the entertainment system, like we were the focal point. Like, it was, our parents were there, like anything that was marketed, it was shown to us to be awesome or cool. Like, we think, you know, we think like, oh, I love the Power Glove. So rad.
So bad.
So bad.
That's fucking bad, dude.
It's fucking bad, dude. Which means it's good, because that's what that meant back then.
That's what those kids were saying those days.
That's what those kids were saying. Now bad actually means bad. Like, this is terrible.
This is not good.
This is bad. By bad, I mean awful.
God. No.
So the marketing was pointed at us. Now, we've grown up. We own homes. We have full-time jobs. We have lawns to mow.
This is California. We don't own our homes.
Green is the new brown.
Shit is crazy also.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you know, I haven't really needed to mow my lawn as much because it's...
Said that backwards. Brown is the new green.
Brown is the new green. I'm in with that.
Checks out.
Poop is money, everybody. You heard it here first.
Start shitting in your wallet, kids.
We now have
is almost a spit.
That's when you can take to the bank.
That's why I almost spit.
Because you changed. But we are now the primary spenders on it. We're spending more money on it than ever. We have the income to do so. We're in many, you know, whatever income level, we're breadwinners. You know, we're not just like getting money for mowing lawns or doing chores, whatever. For example, when GTA 5 launched for consoles, I think it was just consoles, it outsold, GTA 5
sales of it in 1 month outsold the entire music industry. Like, and that's all conglomerate of music combined. Like, you could take iTunes, you could take physical disc sales, outsold the entire music industry for 1 month in its launch period. I want to say somewhere around the realm of like nearly $2 billion on average, the entire music industry per month. We'll see, which is still incredibly impressive, will bring in just over $1 billion. But a single game, essentially releasing on two platforms, pulled in that much money.
Yep.
That's our generation at work. That's us speaking with our wallets. But obviously that raises the question, here's where we are now, and we're going to be ingrained for the next several decades. And then after that, we're probably going to start retiring. And more than likely, I know all of us at this table will still probably be spending money on games in some capacity, but many ways it might be a little bit more limited. We might want to go back, like almost like when we were kids, we might want to maybe focus on a few more things. Oh, I'm retired now. Maybe I want to focus more on travel, or I might not have as much daily income as I did previously. So I might still have mortgages to pay, or I might be getting retirement and social security, et cetera, et cetera. Like, our incomes may shrink, or we may want to focus on other things with the time we have left on this earth.
I'm probably just going to do heroin.
Yeah, I would say that's a good idea. I would actually, you know what? The BitPub endorses heroin and prolific use thereof. Like, let's get that on the record.
When you're old, I mean, you've done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You
probably haven't done heroin.
You don't have that many years left.
Yeah.
You might as well try heroin.
Might as well just go back to being a kid and just do all the things you didn't
get
to do.
Pop a Viagra, do a little blood thinner, and then fucking shoot up a Smeroin.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
nuts? Smeroin.
Smeroin. You give me Smeroin.
But all that to say, a smart company is going to obviously recognize this and know, like, hey, our current major consumer and spender, the one that we've been growing and nurturing for these past several decades, we now get their major income now for the next 30, 40 years, whatever. It's still a good long time. We still need to focus on, we intend to be a company for longer than beyond that. We intend to be producing games, media, hardware, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Nintendo's a 125-year-old company. Like, they know that, hey, trends change and we may need to move
forward.
Can't build card games forever. It's funny because don't they still do that? Don't they actually still make like the Hanafuda cards on occasion?
They're really
like, super rare. But
before they got rid of the Club Nintendo stuff, there was a couple instances where they re-released like Hanafuda cards.
Yeah, they did Hanafuda. And they still like, and they made toys, and they'll still release like actual toys on occasion. However, they also kind of recognize the trend that things are going, like daily entertainment, where things were going. And it's like, hey, this is trending towards games. Hey, this is trending towards some sort of playable media of some sort. So the 10,000, like, here's the main idea of this. Like, what are these companies going to do to get the next generation of gamers? How are they going to capture them as a consumer? That is our kids. Those are the kids that are anywhere, like, your kids' age. All the way, hell, even now, like, I would even say adolescent, preteen, kind of where we were. Like, maybe even at the spot where they have an allowance, maybe making some money. How are they going to impact them? How are they going to get them focused? Because on the things that they do, and get them playing games, and get them remembering to play games, and to look for these specific things, and have a love of games going forward. So I want to, and that's a 10,000 foot view of this idea of capturing the next generation of gamer, a thing which I like to call keeping the tab open. And I think there's many facets of how companies would operate with this from a marketing standpoint. But one of the things that sticks out first in my mind, especially when I look at this, like what grasped me, was something like a mascot or an icon, something that flashed in front of me, especially as a kid, that became recognizable. All of us here at the table know Mario and Sonic. And maybe many times like Link, or we recognize font, like the font from the Legend of Zelda.
Or the Triforce.
The Triforce. Even as we grew older, like, we're going to recognize a Kratos or a Master Chief or a Solid Snake. All of these things, we can see that. Mm-hmm. We can see even a font or possibly even a creator name, because sometimes the mascots or the icons would be the creators. Hideo Kojima, Shigeru Miyamoto, Peter Molyneux. As much of a douchebag as he is, like, everybody's going to know that name at some level and be like, oh, Fable, you know, or or Twisted. He did Twisted Metal, right? Is that him? Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Again, Twisted Metal and Vigilante 8, that's a very generational thing, but that's something that we would recognize.
So my thought is, what about mascots? Are they going to play a part? What kind of parts are they going to play? How do we want to explore that? Like, how is that going to be something that's useful for companies? Like, all those questions, anything in between. Thinking out loud, maybe the first thing to consider, are the existing mascots, the Marios, the Sonics, the Lynx, Samuses, Kratos, Master Chief, everything out there, Sackboy, anything that I can think of, are those viable going forward? Can they keep squeezing life out of them to make money, to do games?
My first guess is yes. I think that there's archetypes that you can fit and mold to go into any game, and I think Mario is a good example of that. There's tons of different styles of games that have this recognizable feature set and kind of voice and I don't know, just the way that he looks and acts, it translates to a bunch of different games, and you can play different styles of games throughout all of those releases. So
I think that also kind of ties in to not just Mario, but Nintendo's approach to game design, where they have a concept for a game, yeah, and then they look for hey, which of our main flagship quote unquote characters would this best fit with?
Yeah, they've stated that and specifically on several occasions. Like, they're often they just go to a drawing board concept of a game, and then okay, well, what fits in here? Does anything we know? One that comes to mind is Super Mario Sunshine. It was just a game of shooting a water gun, yeah, or vacuum or shit at things. And the idea, that was how it started. That was its framework. That was even how the programming started. And literally later on, the characters and story were kind of crammed into that.
Right.
And is that enough clout? Is Mario multi-generational?
I think that lends to... I mean, look at how far Mario's come since we first started with the original Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a red guy and a green guy running to the right and jumping on turtles and shit.
Right, right.
And now it's a much more, developed personality of the character. Anybody who's played a game in the past 5 to 10 years knows what Mario is supposed to sound like now.
Right.
And so I feel like they just kind of keep going with adding these little tidbits.
Mario 64, he first got a voice for us, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So I think that, at least from the standpoint of Nintendo, I feel like they're just going to continue, as long as they're able, I think they're going to continue to try to keep those characters alive, because they have such rich history, and also because I think that it is something that will keep longtime gamers such as ourselves coming back. Like, you have said very frequently, I don't care when, what the next Zelda thing that comes out,
yeah,
I will buy it and I will play it.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. Yeah. I know it. Basically, what Nintendo, I think, ultimately wants to do is keep those mascots around, because that keeps us, the older generation, the old guard, around with characters that we still can identify from our right, early years of gaming. Hey, I love Link, or I love Donkey Kong, or I love Mario, and continuously wanting to come back to those series and characters that we're familiar with, while still, developing these new ideas and new concepts and kind of more updated versions of those characters and games, and making those available for the new gamers through new concepts using the old characters.
Yeah.
And so I think that from Nintendo's standpoint, keeping the mascots around makes sense for the creative process as it has been thus far.
Do you think they are heavily reusable? Can they appeal?
I feel like most of their characters, or at least they have their stable of characters, right? And these are the characters that they're going to draw on. I feel like most quote unquote standard gaming concepts will probably fit one of those characters.
Yeah.
But if not, that's when they look at, hey, maybe is it time for us to introduce a new property Splatoon?
Right.
Right. That's been Nintendo's first big
new IP.
New IP in quite a while.
It's kind of curious. I'm really curious to see where that's going to go, too. Is that going to explode? Are kids going to latch onto it? Or have we just latched onto it as adults?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, my nephews are both really into it. Or at least one of them, for sure. I assume that the other one would be as well.
That other one, I don't know. I don't know. Like no Splatoon.
I don't know about him. Don't like Splatoon.
That one.
Don't like shooting goo at chicks.
You better watch out for that one.
Yeah. Means he's different.
So anyway, that's my thought on Nintendo's approach, at least, to mascots.
Yeah.
I think it's many faceted. Like, part of it is philosophical. I think Nintendo is cultural. But there's definitely the let's make a buck off this aspect.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Well, yeah, I think that's the one of the questions I had was like, how did these mascots come about? Were a lot of them seem organic. Like a lot of us know the story of Mario and how it was like fairly like, hey, they just built a good game. Mm-hmm. And things kind of grew out of that. Like it became recognizable because you had Mario Brothers, the arcade game. They had moderate popularity, but then they did Super Mario Brothers, the game, like that everyone has on their NES. And that's when things started to become iconic and recognizable. Like you had, you know, Mario, Luigi.
The music that everybody knows.
The music that everybody knows. The
enemies that everybody knows.
That one seemed a bit more organic. Conversely, if you look at Sega, they actually experimented and drew up mascots that could represent them. For a while, they were trying Alex Kidd. I don't know if you ever heard like Alex Kidd in Miracle mm-hmm. Zone, Fantasy Zone, stuff like that. And that one didn't play as well. But Sonic was actually conjured from a marketing scenario. I mean, especially you know if you look
could
at
it, could be anything like, running around collecting.
Yeah, it could be right? Fucking anything running around. But it's a goddamn hedgehog wearing you know Chucks, Converse Chucks or whatever. And he had a lot of attitude, which was extremely. Like, that was the era. Everything had to have Tude.
Yeah.
Like, everything had to be like...
Also, it was called Tude.
Yeah, it was called Tude. By the way, young listeners, because there's billions of you out there.
Yeah, let's explain the 90s to people really quickly. Explain.
So, every...
They were terrible.
Yeah, they were terrible. We like to abbreviate... You know how we hashtag everything right now? Like, we just want to, like, put a hashtag in front of it so we can categorize it. Back then, just everything was... words were cut in half or possibly even thirds, maybe even a quarter on occasion.
Yeah.
An apostrophe foot in front of it just to... Because we didn't like speaking in long sentences. So it's like, oh, this guy has a lot of tude. That basically meant his attitude was, quote-unquote, to the extreme or possibly to the max.
But extreme would be spelled with just an X.
Just an X.
In the beginning.
Or if you were going to spell it with the E first, then the E was lowercase and the X was uppercase.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And max would have two X's.
Oh, yeah.
Which always seemed extraneous because for a society in which we were cutting back on our use of letters, we seem to have a lot of budget for X.
Let's just try to throw X as many places as we can.
Generation X.
We did a lot of X's.
Did a lot of X.
We did a ton of X.
We were really high for the majority of the 90s.
Yeah, as you can tell if you look back in time. But yeah, that was a mascot mate like purposefully created to look at Tude. Like, oh, this guy's got a lot of attitude. Like, he's really super fast. And I still love the Sonic games, but I know a lot of people go back to it and look like, actually, it's pretty poor game design, pretty poor level design. Like, okay, whatever.
But it's still fun.
Is it fun? Yeah, is it fun? Did I have a good time? Yes. Do I still have a good time? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But
yes, she helps, but
yeah. So were the things that grew out of it, like, is that what it's going to take is something organic? Like the things that we kind of love and kind of cherish the most weren't necessarily intended to be a marketing force. It feels like it was something that people kind of latched on. It was like, oh, I like this. And the smart portions of the company recognized that.
So a character that we could talk about that I think follows that pattern is Master Chief.
Yeah.
From Halo. It started out as this little game, and it was a shooter, and it was really cool. And
yeah. It was nameless. In fact, you were Master Chief.
Yeah.
Like
you didn't just see the body.
You just saw your gun and a little digital display that counted your bullets
on there. You had very little, like...
There's no talking.
Outside the character.
It was just...
Right.
You had the AI talking in your head.
Yeah, if anything, Cortana spoke more.
Yep, right.
And then it's progressed to the point where... Master Chief talks, and now Master Chief is this archetypal character.
Right. He has a history, he has a background.
Right.
All this stuff was fleshed out after the fact.
Yeah.
When I think that going back to your question of should we expect it to be developed or should we expect it to be more organic? Good God. Your fucking neighborhood does not want us to podcast.
No, this neighborhood. Right, continue, yeah. Right. But that was, I mean. And go. You should have just been talking to the beat of that car horn.
And then he said that he should go. Yeah, so to answer your question, or I guess to further discuss your question of should it be organic or should it be something that's just developed in the minds of marketing people, I feel like this generation is all about like kind of getting people on the bandwagon and kind of getting that sort of like grassroots support for stuff. Like James and I were talking earlier about the Deadpool movie and how the fans like just pushed and pushed and pushed and they're like, this is what we want. And like without that kind of fan push behind like we want a fucking Deadpool movie, that kind of thing never would have happened. Or at least it would have been a long time coming. So I wonder if, or I, my feeling is that the organic development of maybe these sort of mascots is, at least with this generation, is probably more likely to take place rather than having like a marketing thing fed to you.
And I feel evidentially the fully blown marketing schemes were, they might have been effective, but they were effective for a short period of time.
Right.
I.e. Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot was actually built as PlayStation, Sony PlayStation's mascot. Booyah, and we got a couple of good platformers out of it.
He was the star of the commercials for Sega for a long time. Star of the
commercials. He was... Crash... he had a racing game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, was that any good? I actually never played it.
I never played it.
It's a rip off of Mario Kart.
Yeah. I mean...
If you didn't have a Nintendo 64 and your parents didn't love you, then you played Crash Bandicoot.
But I remember like playing the first one. It was actually a pretty decent platformer. I liked it. It was fun. But Sony specifically stated, like, in actual words, like, this is our mascot. Like, Crash Bandicoot is our mascot. And then we all had to go figure out what the hell a bandicoot was, et cetera, et cetera.
And why did it crash?
Why did it crash?
These are questions that we have. Why was it top heavy?
Yeah, he seems really dumb.
Head's really big.
Yeah.
He was really high on like cocaine, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Look at his face.
Yeah, he was high on cocaine. I think he did a lot of roids because like if you look at his body shape, it was
a V. The problem is he skipped leg day.
Never skip leg day.
Yeah. I think we should pause for additional beer.
Should pause.
All right.
I mean I'm gonna keep it roll, keep it rolling.
But we're
here's
we're
one going. For you pause.
No, I would agree. I think the crowdsourcing grassroots, the social movement for everything, which is weird because there's been multiple discussions, multiple surveys, like we're in such a social society that never actually sees each other sort of thing. Like
yeah, it's very curious society.
We just post online. We support things
with Kickstarter, etc., but we don't actually talk to each other in person. We listen to podcasts.
fucking asshole. Dumbasses listen to podcasts.
Dumbasses.
Fucking
pieces of shit. Like, you know who's dumber and more stuck up? Podcasters, people who make podcasts.
And you know what, fuck those pretentious assholes. You think
I want to take my podcasting microphone and stick it right up their anus?
Yeah, you should. Yeah. You know what, we all should.
Yeah,
it'll wreck them.
Damn near killed him. R.I.P. David Letterman.
He's not dead.
I mean, really,
pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, he might as well be.
Yeah,
somebody should kill him.
That brings us to the topic of our podcast, Killing David Letterman.
How to kill David Letterman. Step one.
Find David Letterman.
Step two.
He might be in his home. List of or fears. Possibly a grocery store.
Cut a hole in the box.
Oh.
What are we talking about?
That'll get it.
So, yeah, the origin, how is it going to affect the next generation? And I think that's a smart idea. Because everything that worked and worked well has been organic. Master Chief was never designed to be anything that was representative of a mascot or a platform or anything. He was just, it was an avatar for yourself.
Right.
You were, per last podcast discussion, probably, he was tail fucking.
Yeah. Like that's avatar. Probably what was appealing about him in the original game. Yeah. Is that this, I am him.
I am Master Chief. I am someone referred to as Master Chief. That's a really cool title. I like this title.
Sweet title.
Yeah. Master's like, not just Chief, you're Master Chief. It's like you're really good at being a Chief.
I'm Master some Chiefs.
Yeah. Like, you're awesome at being...
It's like you're masturbating, chiefed. But you're master chiefing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of rubbing.
Yeah.
So you're chiefing.
Mm. Get some...
I just got that.
What is that's it? Talcum powder for...
Baby powder.
Baby powder. Helps. Or baby oil. I mean,
Depends on what your activity level is.
I mean, if you're just going for it, you might as well loop it up.
I'm going for it.
Whatever it is, I'm going for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't care.
Sorry, what are we talking about?
Whatever it is, wherever it is, I'm going for it. All in, Hadouken. but yeah, like everything that was a plot point for marketing and making an icon, it might have been effective, like, and maybe even still has a place in our hearts. Like, Sonic still has a place in my heart. I love Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, like, pre...
most anything
like recent. Pretty much Sonic Adventures 2 was the last somewhat good game.
And yes, I recognize that I enjoyed the hell out of Sonic Adventure. I really did. I loved it when I got my Dreamcast. And I honestly, I go back and recognize, like, you know, a lot of people are like, this game is fucking terrible. I still have a good time playing it. I still have a really good time playing it. In fact, to see kind of a good discussion of that at large, go and watch Game Grumps playing Sonic Adventure DX, the re-release of that for the GameCube. Mm-hmm. And they kind of keep talking about that. Like, this game is so fucking terrible, and I'm in love with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just love this game.
That's kind of how I felt about the second one that I had it on GameCube.
Yeah.
That was a game that I felt frequently frustrated by the game, but I loved it. Like, I just kept going back to it.
There was enough elements that just grabbed your attention, and that was fun. Yeah, I know there's a lot of weird things with the voice acting.
Acting was weird.
It's terrible in the like the way it meshed up, but it was fun. And especially, too, with having when I got it on my Dreamcast, because there was a Sonic game for Sega Saturn when I had it. It was like Sonic 3D Blast, but it also came out for Genesis, which was really weird. That was a really weird release for that. And I guess not very good. But that was really, honestly, the first Sonic game. And I don't know if you played it on Dreamcast, but like when that shit hit, and you're playing through like the first Emerald Zone, and you're like streaking across this bridge, and
totally the camera,
naked. He's a fucking hedgehog because he's naked. He's just dangling in the distance.
Not that much.
I mean, he's a hedgehog. He was a Mandingo hedgehog, though. I don't know.
Blue everywhere.
Yeah, everyone.
He just blew everybody himself.
Everybody was blue. but yeah, the camera would flip around, and all of a sudden there's this like killer whale behind you taking out the bridge, and that just blew our goddamn minds. We're like, we're in the 128-bit era, holy shit. But that still sticks with me to this day. And anytime I see a Sonic game release, I look back to that kind of fun, or the same way Sonic... Actually, the first Sonic game I played was Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. So when I bought my Genesis, I got the one that actually had that as a pack-in game. And I didn't actually play the original until years later. And that was, it was just exciting. It was intense. It was fast. And that memory still sticks with me, and that enjoyment still sticks with me. So, you know, kudos to the marketing department for that. But the actual character of Sonic the Hedgehog, I mean, never really gave a shit about. I mean, he showed up in other games and showed up in other
Knuckles
things.
Clearly Knuckles was the best character to have come out
Knuckles
of
was pretty fucking
entire
awesome.
Series.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome. But that's a very rare random example of something that was created or pushed to be a mascot. Or I think of another example, like Sackboy was pushed to be the mascot for PlayStation 3. Who kind of really became the mascot? Nathan Drake of Uncharted. And that was...
I mean, I suppose if you have to pick a mascot, that's who I'd go with.
Drake? Or the Sackboy?
Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, not so much anymore. I would maybe say Kratos.
Maybe Kratos, but that was also PS2 era.
Yeah, it's true.
Like God of War dropped in PS2. Yeah. Kratos, I would still say, is a big recognizable figure.
Right, and that's why I would say that. Like, but if someone brought up Crash Bandicoot to someone who had never had a Sony, like a young kid who's like 10, whose only console that they've had is the PlayStation 4, they have no fucking idea
who Crash Bandicoot is. No goddamn clue. Like, PlayStation 4 is still, like, if you want to look from an organic perspective, it still has yet to maintain something as a or broadcast something as its iconic image or one of its more iconic.
I feel like
Witcher 3 is on its way to that. Maybe Bloodborne.
That's a great game.
But there's the ones that we keep mentioning that kind of keep sticking with us. We're like, oh, this is awesome and I love it. And we kind of like gravitate towards it. And companies are like, oh, cool. We're going to keep pushing that button and we're going to keep developing it further because people keep kind of asking, even hell, back in the day, people writing mail to the companies saying, hey, I really liked Metroid. You should make another Metroid game. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see another one. And sometimes stuff like that gets listened to. Now it seems like we're a bit more vociferous. We have the internet. We have like way to track the data, numbers, etc.
Does that mean companies can be smarter about it?
I think it means they can be smarter.
But are
they?
Think,
but that's the problem with big data. It's like, we can be smart with the big data. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be smart? Are we going to know what to do with the data?
Yeah,
like,
that, are we gonna know that right there is the key problem with big data and like analyzing statistics of big data is knowing the right questions to ask and knowing the right like metrics to look at when you're asking those questions. Because honestly, companies have so much fucking data about the sales and their customers, and like it's crazy the amount of data that they have. And if you don't have good data analysis people to figure that shit out, they'll just wander in the darkness for a while and not give you any answers. Yeah,
I feel a bit tangential, but one of the biggest mistakes that companies are making based on data is like, oh, everything, like the money is in mobile. Money's in mobile software. From data. It is not, unless you are churning out games or a new variation of games on near weekly bases.
It has to be a new one.
It has to be constant and near weekly at that point if you want to continually make money. A study was recently completed indicating that free games, people that download free games, play them for 24 hours and effectively drop them after that. Paid games, 72 hours. That's 3 days.
For a game so that you want, just paid $60 for.
No, no, I mean, I'm talking about mobile. Just mobile? I'm talking mobile. So this is company saying like every, real money's in mobile. If you keep churning crap out.
Right.
And so that's why they turned to freemium for a little while. And we're already starting to see the trend of that. Like people getting fucking sick of that. Like I'm sick and tired of the, I know the game was quote unquote free, but I spent $60 on this for a day. And honestly, the game's not good. Like, I don't enjoy this. I'm not, it's really just feeding an addictive impulse. Mm-hmm. And that trend is even starting to fade away. I'd be curious to kind of see some statistics on that. And that obviously that'll require some time and heuristics. But where the fuck was I going with this?
You said it was a tangent.
Oh, yeah, I totally said it was
tangential. To get tangential.
To get a little bit tangential. It's like companies. That's the example.
I think I had a couple of two-way beers, guys.
That's what I was going tangential. That's the idea of big data. It's like the companies that are smart and doing things with this are saying, like, actually, the big money is in mobile. If you're doing things constantly and spending a ton of money, you can have mega hits on occasion, like a Cut the Rope or Candy Crush.
It's a long game.
What is the big one in Japan that's kind of making its way? Puzzle and Dragons? Mm. Something like that. That was a big mobile game in Japan.
Didn't it come out on 3DS?
Yeah, it came out on 3DS and sold really well as an entire game.
I'm actually kind of interested in
the
game.
Yeah, it sold extremely well. Nintendo even used some of their IP in it.
They did a Mario second themed version of the same game.
Yeah, Mario themed or Mario version game of it. But that's smart use of big data as a company's looking at it and say, like, well, I mean, actually, no, that's not where the big money is. In order to be the big money, you have to do these myriad of things.
Right.
I finished my tangent, but I don't remember where the fuck we were. Because...
Oh, we're talking about mascots or something.
Yeah, we should drink some more.
Hey, let's pause to enjoy some of this delicious beer. It goes down smooth.
At any rate, so it seems the growth organically out of that and companies being smart about how to push that and market things is really how things kind of became the longest lasting mascots.
Definitely seems to be the most successful.
Yeah. So what are companies like Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, subsidiaries, even indie games out there, what are they going to do? Because you even brought up a good thing. I feel like Nintendo feels like a good example of this because it seemed like they have the most universally recognizable characters, but not to just, you know, stick to them solely.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to make this organic for the next generation? Because they can't, I mean, granted, I'm making a bold statement, they can't necessarily keep using the same things that we love and what we're familiar with about it. To get to the next generation, like they might have to, are they gonna have to use it in new ways? Or are they gonna have to make it recognizable?
I think that that's just it. Is that it? Kind of goes back to like the big data thing. You need to be aware of what your current customer base wants, right? Like, what are the trends? What is it that is selling right now? and you need to either, if you want to keep your current mascots, like this guy is the champion of our company, right, as far as mascots go, you need to keep being able to like put those characters in new situations. Like that, I think, is what has kept Mario around for so long.
I feel like the willingness to throw money at experimentation.
Right.
Is like, a huge portion of it.
Okay, Mario has played many different sports. He has run through a bunch of different adventures.
He's painted. He
races cars. He's run around with a glorified super soaker on his back.
Like, he's been in 3D.
Exactly.
He's been in 2D.
He's done RPGs. He's done, like, the willingness to put that character into a variety of situations.
He's been a baby.
Yeah. He's even been in a game where he's had his adult self and his baby self, along with his brother and his brother's baby self, all teamed up together.
That is hot.
So hot. So I think that the main thing that companies need to either A, be willing to do, or B, like think about before they even try to like push a character as a mascot, is make sure that that character is like flexible. That, you know, they're not like, look at Sonic. I don't think Sonic is a very flexible character.
No.
What does Sonic do? He runs really fast.
Runs really fucking fast.
So yeah, every game Sonic has been in is about Sonic going really fast. He was in an Olympics game. Okay, so he runs really fast. He was in a racing game. He drives his car really fucking fast. And all of the regular Sonic games, he just runs through the level really fast. Like,
so that presents Sonic Fishing.
Now with Gold Sonic. Yep. So just
water splashing against the boat, right, as you're sitting there.
So I think that ultimately what companies need to strive for, if they want to keep their mascots with good longevity, is to, you know, come up with a character who is flexible, who isn't just one dimensional, who can only do one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Mario is a fat plumber, but he's been in an Olympics game, he's played soccer, he's played tennis, he races cars.
Motherfucker is working damn hard not to be fat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's working hard, but he just can't lose
he
it.
He loved a lasagna.
Yeah, he can't cut the carbs. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. That's just what's killing him. That's what's killing him.
He can't lay off peach's cake and the lasagna.
Yeah. I mean, you Luigi. No, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
That peach pie, if you know what I mean.
Hitting that Rosalina on the side.
Hey-o. Getting with his brother's girl, though.
There's a game theorist episode about how Rosalina might actually be his daughter or something like that. It's really
even
really
hotter.
Yeah, right? Way super hot. Right? Some people would call that wincest. Yeah. Right? Danny? Danny? He's here, folks. We'll find him. He's in there somewhere.
Nope. No, I don't. Well, no, sir, I don't like it. Carrying on.
Yeah, moving along from here.
Moving right
along. So it would be I would agree. I think like continuing to experiment and like figure out like sexually with Rosalina.
You guys,
we're talking about Rosalina stuff.
You guys all want to try blowing each other at the same time?
Yeah, try blowing each other. Trying the Hadouken.
It's a little triangle. Triangle.
It's a Triforce. Because none of us really want it.
So yeah, we gotta force it.
Yeah. We gotta try to force
power,
it.
Power, which one's wisdom,
he's my
and
master.
Which one is...
Oh yeah, baby, here's my master sword. Yeah.
What's that?
The other one's farts.
The Triforce of Farts! James, you have been granted the Triforce of Farts!
Yeah.
You must gain the other two Triforces to defeat Ian! Master of beard grease.
I just throw like beard hairs at him, so it's like I had my mouth open when he threw that.
He threw a piece of a sandwich that he had stuck in his beard.
It's basically pubic hair on your face.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's how hair.
The Legend
works.
Of James.
Hello.
I think even better would be the Legend of Jim.
Legend of Jimmy.
Legend of Jim. Legend of Jim.
It's just some guy.
I gotta fight some fat just, bearded
he's
guy.
Like a, wearing he's like a workman.
Wearing some tidy whiteys.
That's Christ. It.
Tidy whiteys and rain boots.
Yeah,
rain
I
boots.
Have to defeat the source of all evil again.
All right.
Okay, so what were we talking about?
Fucking Rosalina.
Fucking Rosalina.
Doing the Hadouken in her. In
she's
her
got the little
region.
Star guy that flies around in the magic wand.
I think he could fit.
I feel like she could probably use that for some
Some goosing?
Yeah, that Star Guy's been places.
He's been places he doesn't want to be. Have you seen him in Smash Bros?
I wish this was on video because I'm doing Hadouken right now, but it's obviously with like a vaginal
weird,
context.
It's like a weird
molesty Hadouken.
Molesty fingers while he's doing Hadouken.
But it's way up in there. It's
high up in the Hadouken.
I would call it the vaginal jaws of life.
It looks like a Venus flytrap.
It's making a noise. I'm afraid of it.
Yeah, Venus flytraps are extremely loud creatures.
Yeah.
This fly tastes like disgusting.
You called this a fly?
Can I get a drink of water over here? I can't move. I'm a plant.
So does that make any of these figures? I mean, it sounds like the argument could be yes if properly used, but still, does that make anything timeless? Like, or how does something become timeless? And let me give you outside video game examples. Most kids today don't know who the fuck Bugs Bunny is. Like, they have no fucking clue who Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, Sylvester the Cat, Tweety Bird, none of them are. They don't know who Looney Tunes are. However, flip side, good example, and possibly continuing good example with the recent HBO deal, Sesame Street. Every fucking person knows Snuffleupagus, Oscar the Grouch, Big Bird, because every person for the past 45 years has been watching Sesame Street.
It's just been when they were kids.
Yeah.
So is that good marketing?
Right. Are any of these timeless? How do they become timeless?
One that we haven't touched on yet, another Nintendo property.
We've been touching a lot of things.
Are we just touching each other? Touching that one guy that walked by?
Yeah.
Didn't even ask for it.
But he's coming back for more.
Oh, yeah, he is.
At least he said he was. Hopefully he'll be back.
I hope so. Maybe he'll call.
I'm sure
he'll call. The thing that I wanted to bring up is Pokemon.
It's a good example.
Think how many fucking Pokemon games have come out. Pokemon cards, TV shows, movies. Pokemon is everywhere.
It boggles the mind.
It does. And it is huge. And... like, I remember playing
Boggle in my mind right now.
Oh, yeah. I remember playing Pokemon in, like, elementary school.
Yeah.
When the first one came out, it was amazing.
Red and blue.
Yeah, red and blue.
I had red.
My first Pokemon was Squirtle. And I was sad that I didn't get Bulbasaur. So I started over and got Bulbasaur. Because Bulbasaur's the
You
shit.
Had blue and your first
I had
was
red.
Oh, you had red and your first red. Was Squirtle?
Yeah. You got to pick from the three starters regardless of the color.
I feel like Squirtle's just balls. And like, you get to Bulbasaur and that's just if you don't do it. Your balls are just huge and sore.
Huge blue Bulbasaur. Balls.
That's my joke.
Oh. I get it now. I think.
I ruined your childhood. You're welcome.
I had Charizard, eventually. I had Charmander, the piece of shit when he's whatever he'd the hell he is.
Get fucked by, like, the first two gym leaders.
But then he was a Charizard, and I just burned the shit out of everything.
Yeah. Then you have a goddamn dragon.
Dragon.
Yeah. You just burn the shit. And then I ended up with, like, a fucking plant dinosaur with a giant fucking flower on his back. Yeah. But he shot the sunlight out of himself, so, which is pretty cool.
Which is, like,
I mean... Pokemon's pretty cool.
it's fucking intense.
Yeah.
It's not quite there. All
right. I mean, something's happening in a tent. It's like fingering in a tent.
It's getting to second base on top of the clothes.
You
get under the shirt over the bra.
Yeah.
In a tent. You snuck over to the girls' camp, undershirt over a bra. That's Pokemon.
Found the most desperate one.
It's not even fingering. Oh, yeah. It's not even fingering intense then.
No. Maybe there's like some heavy petting over the pants.
That'd be like when Pokemon hit the Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Now we're talking.
That was third base Pokemon right there.
I mean, I feel like you're kind of like rounding second at that point.
Yeah. You're going for the honeypot.
Oh, you're going.
Yeah.
You're hoping.
You're going for it.
You're hoping. So I think that Pokemon is something with longevity. Like, it's crossed many generations. Like, as I said, I remember playing it when I was in elementary school. And to keep touching on this,
keep touching it. Round second.
One of my nephews is really into Pokemon. That's like his one of
How old is he?
He is
34.
12 now.
He's older than me. I don't even understand it.
I don't know how it works.
Science. I don't understand math, time, science basic science.
Vaginas.
Oh, God, those things are terrifying.
Like a fucking Rubik's Cube.
Jesus, how do you figure
it out? I got one side.
Ow. 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 Okay, stop. Stop.
Stop. I'm almost there.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Not even
you
close.
You are far from it.
That is my kneecap.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So he's 12 and he's really into like the more current Pokemon games. He's never played Red or Blue. He has no concept of the older games.
But he's playing like XY, Crystal, Omega Red, Ruby Sapphire.
Right. So he's playing like the remakes of the games that
why do we have radioactive
Pokemon?
Oh shit, that'd be awesome. Just making everybody else sick and die a slow death.
Pokemon Fukushima.
That
one would work, right?
I think your whole goal is to destroy a fucking nuclear reactor.
Just the slow death of a generation.
That's the whole game. You just wander around Japan watching people die of radiation sickness.
My children were born horribly deformed. Yeah, you want to battle? I'm going to tear your fucking gym to shit.
Please, we're dying and all of our food is irradiated.
It is irradiated. I'll burn you with my Charizard! Fire Blast! Charizard!
Wow. Wow.
I really like it.
Oh, please show mercy.
Show us mercy. We just wish to die in peace. You should leave this land. It's still covered in radiation.
Fucking yeah, it is. You're welcome, you son of a bitch.
That's not...
Danny's crying.
Oh, my God.
Tears and Pokemon stopped selling. No one knew why.
Yeah, no one understood why.
No one can figure it out. No one can analyze that data.
So anyway... The point is that I love Pokemon when I was a kid, and my nephew loved Pokemon when he's a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pokemon just has whatever theme it is that kids love.
Do you know how he got into it? Were friends playing it? Did some friends bring it home?
Who you been talking to? Is it that boy Bobby? I told you not to hang around him.
That's the Stevenson twins. I told you to stay away from them.
I don't actually know what got him started on Pokemon.
It wasn't you throwing shit at him.
Oh my God, Pokemon was cool. Play
Pokemon,
it.
You little shit. Play Pokemon.
Play it with me. I'll trade you my Charizard.
No.
No.
Oh.
Why are your pants off?
Because I'm playing Pokemon. This is how I play, goddammit. Can't be wearing pants while I'm playing. You stupid. What are you, like 12? What are you, some fucking 12-year-old idiot?
Yeah?
Oh. We gotta take your pants off.
Gotta take your pants off. Helps with the squat thrust while you're playing.
Stupid.
Never skip leg day.
So we should call it Never Skip Leg Day.
Never Skip Leg Day.
Never Skip Leg Day. Podcast title.
What was the one that we talked about before?
I remember. I'll go back.
Yeah, fuck it. I like the Never Skip Leg Day.
Never Skip Leg Day.
Although we didn't really touch on that like at all this entire episode.
Which is fine.
Like right now.
I mean, it's either that or something about radiated Pokemon.
That's two times we've said Never Skip Leg Day on this podcast.
Okay, that's fair. We did say that before. Anyway, Pokemon's good, and I think it's good for many people.
Everybody likes Pokemon.
We're
gonna be sticking around.
My retirement depends on it. Thanks.
So yeah, it's kind of curious.
I'm heavily invested in Game Freak. Please buy Pokemon. I should really diversify my portfolio.
Yes.
I just keep investing in Pokemon.
I want my children to go to college. Please buy next Pokemon.
I have way too many children and did not plan for their future and well-being. So, I mean, yeah, it's really curious. I would actually be interested to see like how he got interested in Pokemon, how he would be want to play it. Because it's like that
idea
would be, yeah, give him a call right now.
Get him on the phone.
Hey, you up? You wake.
Hey, wake up.
Wake up.
Hey,
yo. Yo, this is Drunk Uncle Danny.
My brother-in-law gets on the phone. Why the fuck are you calling?
Hey, put it back on the phone.
Hey, put him on the phone. God damn it.
Pokemon.
Drunk? I'm trying to talk about Pokemon.
Family invested in Game Freak.
Hey, where do I get the Master Ball? Can you help me? I don't know how to get... I'm
sleeping. Wow.
I just need to get fucking Master Ball.
Listen here, you little bastard.
Listen here, you little shit. I was playing Pokemon long before you even twinkle in your mother's eye.
You goddamn twinkle.
You fucking twinkle.
Scale, I love you, buddy.
No, I'm just kidding.
Uncle,
hey,
it's
you
Uncle
know,
Danny. It's your Uncle Danny.
Hey, you know what? Go to sleep, okay? I'm going to time.
Sleep. We'll go play baseball tomorrow. We'll go throw the ball around tomorrow.
It's a school day tomorrow.
Hey, are you school? Are you school? Uncle Danny, you go to school? Look at Uncle Danny.
Yeah, I didn't go to school. I turned out just fine. Look at me.
Oh, God.
Yep, that's how I talk to my nephews.
and that's a healthy family relationship right there.
Why does Uncle Danny like that? He drinks, sweetie.
He drinks.
Drinks what?
He played too much Pokemon.
He played too much Pokemon. Too much. Like you're doing.
You don't want to end up like that, do you?
No. Also,
he played too much Pokemon and
kept his door closed
with his hand under his blankets.
I've seen the light under your door.
Don't come in!
I'm vacuuming my room!
That doesn't sound like vacuum.
I don't hear no vacuum.
Vacuum. Nothing. I got nothing.
Do we need new mascots? Can we keep reusing the same thing? Is that going to be...
Yes to both.
Yes to both?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
We're just going to keep coming out with them.
And we it's, can I mean, it keep sounds reusing like the same classic ones, and I think new ones will be invented. There'll be indie games that come out.
Yeah.
There'll be... things that become part of the consciousness of gaming, and then those will be exploited.
Yeah,
and people will know them everywhere.
Yeah, look at Halo. I haven't played it, but apparently the most recent Halo kind of sucks. I haven't played it because I don't have an Xbox, but I feel like the Master Chief is a perfect case of where they had this great thing, and then Bungie left, and now it just fucking nosedive.
And it's. They have all the potential. It's a terrible curse where they have all the potential in the world, but they just can't.
They just don't have the know-how to land anything
anywhere.
Yeah, I'm very curious personally to see what happens with Splatoon. Personally, like I granted, I know we're beating the dead horse of Nintendo at this point, but again, like their stuff has kind of stayed true
for the longest.
Keep sucking on that Nintendo heat,
Nintendick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said a boob, he said a penis, just for the record.
Dang. I got nothing.
Where are you?
Just think, yeah. Just, yeah.
Where are you? Nine tit dick.
So he's in the wiener category, too.
No, I'm doing both.
Oh,
he's in the hermaphrodite category.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
He's like Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of like that.
Didn't we threaten a podcast in Brazil?
Carnival.
Last time?
Yeah.
Carnival. We need to do that.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that.
I wanted it to be a thing that we just kind of jokingly talk about, but then I really hope it comes to fruition one day. Like
Episode 43 of
We're Live Drunk. In We're Rio de Janeiro!
Our
continuing discussion. Try to make it all NPR-like while we're, like, naked amongst a bunch of hermaphrodites. Oh, my God. That'd be an amazing podcast. We would have to video that one, though. That would be a video and audio podcast.
Oh, God, yes.
But yeah, I'm very curious to see where Splatoon is going to go, because they did the wonderful 101, which I was excited about, and that just kind of crap.
That game was actually fun. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It just didn't catch on.
I really wish that it had caught on more than it did.
Whereas Splatoon is, and obviously I'm not as creative. I'm not creative enough, hence I don't work at Nintendo. But I'm not certain where they could go with that, but I feel like there's a lot of places... that could be going, and a lot of it is going to be organic. That seems to be the impetus of this.
Like composted.
Yeah. It needs to be composted, we spread it in our garden, and then fresh flowers grow.
I think sort of the summary of all of this is that Nintendo seems to be pushing forward with the let's take the organic approach, and also let's like keep carrying our previous mascots forward, where I feel like the Sony and Microsoft camp is much more here is like the current mascot. Like
they've not had a timeless mascot. They've had a mascot for the time.
Exactly. So like Crash Bandicoot was around for a while. then Kratos was around for a while.
And it seems like they caught on where they were just like, you know what? We're just going to let it be.
Yeah.
Whatever people are buying will push that.
Right.
And in many ways, I feel like they've done it creatively. So, hell, even Microsoft has kind of done this. Sometimes I feel like the Halo branch was pushed a little too much. Mm-hmm. But subsequently, Gears of War. Again, you have nameless faces and characters in there, but I can see the Gears of War logo anywhere, and I know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
And to me, it was a really fucking awesome game where I had a gun with a chainsaw on it. Like, that was just...
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, it was a shit ton of fun. And just a really brilliant game. Two questions, and I know we're actually running over a little bit, but two other things, like, thinking along those lines. Is there still a way to use these mascots in other media to kind of promote it? Parentheses question. Is it time to reboot the Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Oh,
does that need to happen?
My dear God.
Super right? Bowl commercials?
The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Television Mario shows?
Podcasts? Swing your arms from side to side.
How you doing the Mario?
Hey, hey, yo. This... Is that still an effective thing to do? Like, again, look at the Pokemon example. Everybody knows who the fuck Pikachu is, and at least from my perspective, that's because of the
TV show.
The TV show.
Yep.
The cartoon, the anime. Like, everybody knew what the hell Pikachu was because of that show.
Yeah.
You got Pokemon Yellow, where he was the featured Pokemon. Yeah. Like, you started with him because of the show, and Ash was stuck with, quote-unquote, stuck with Pikachu. Granted, an overpowered Pikachu, because anytime you got a Pikachu in that game, it's like, what a piece of shit.
Look at this
bang. And then Nintendo took advantage of that with Super Smash Brothers.
Super Mash Potatoes.
Super Mash Potatoes.
My favorite starch. Super Mash Potatoes.
Super Mario!
Hey, let's get some gravy in here! Super Mash Potatoes.
Some gravy on. Mario, I think you're putting too much gravy on that.
No, it's fine. I never have enough
gravy. Woman, get out of my back. Play a lot of soccer tomorrow. It should be fine.
Then I got. We should play some tennis.
Some tennis.
I got. I'll play tennis with a turtle.
What? I like how Mario is always drunk.
I think all of our characters are always drunk
at all times.
They're a bit.
We have
drunk.
One character.
Eh?
When they're all characters, eh? Yell, no. I'm drunk.
What? I said they're a bit drunk.
Oh,
it's and no one was listening.
It's clever because he used
just like no one's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm okay with it.
Right, someday,
my prince will come on my face.
Yeah. I mean,
he already did.
I mean, who wouldn't listen to this? If you like rousing drunken discussion with one impression,
dog fighting in the background,
and tangential forgetful conversation.
This is the show.
This for is what are we talking place about?
To be. I don't know.
Yeah, video some games. Bullshit.
Some
dogs are fucking kicking the shit out
some
of
dogs.
Yeah, some dogs are fucking. But I mean, media is in a brave new world right now. Very like we're leaving cable. All of us just like I don't have cable.
I don't have cable.
I actually never paid for cable my entire life. Like if I had cable, I was either one a kid living at home, or two. The apartment I lived in just had like cable, like you plugged your TV into it, and it was just part of my rent. But I never called Comcast or
DirecTV. Any of those.
I was about to say TCI, which was a random small cable company in St. Louis, Missouri, which I think is actually out of business now. But for some reason, that sticks in my head. I never had to call any of them and set up anything. I just had it, and I never paid for it. The things I did pay for were internet and streaming services. Obviously, media is in somewhat of a brave new world, trying to figure some things out. And some, like people like Netflix and Hulu and HBO, etc., have kind of very good grasp on this and how they want to handle it. Or Sling from Dish Network. But so that's how TV media is going to be approached. Is that still an effective medium?
Is that
a good way to spread your mascot?
My hunch is that the right way, if they want to try to get their mascots or these characters like popularized outside of the games themselves, maybe like a web series of some kind, like either maybe YouTube. some short YouTube videos, you know, they do like a 5-minute video. I
watch the shit out of YouTube.
Some Vines.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of subscriptions. I go in there. I watch whatever my subscriptions have. And YouTube be like, hey, you should also watch this. All right, cool. Hey, I like this. Subscribe.
Some twats. They should send out some twats.
Yeah, just twat on your Twitter.
Yeah, your Twitter.
Yeah.
I twoted upon my Twitter.
I think that the approach needs to be short, small bites of information that are easily consumable, not like a half-hour variety show like Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Or the BitPub might end up being.
Or is that because, fucking bag of shit. Is that because people's attention span is shorter?
Especially kids.
Or because the cost to produce that is too high?
I mean, if it's coming from Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony, I would probably lean more towards the... I mean, obviously, they want to keep costs down, but I think that it's more in the camp of, like, the short attention span kind of generation is, I think, what we're going to see with kids growing up now.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Who are all growing up.
Do you think half an hour is too much? No.
I mean, I don't.
20 minutes max.
But, like, let's...
8 minutes of commercial.
Let's say we're talking about my 12-year-old nephew.
Yeah.
He's not going to want to sit down and watch... well, maybe he will because he's really into video games. He might sit down and watch a half-hour show.
It seems like almost Mario, you hit a certain age and you're a little bit more comfortable with watching.
Right, but if I had... Let's say I had a kid who was like 5 or 6.
They digest things in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, which is what the BitPub is going to do.
Digest things in 5 to 10 minute chunks?
I mean, this is our segment.
So we're going to eat and take a shit every 5 to 10 minutes, is what you're saying.
I mean, that's pretty much my standard right now.
We have a super overactive colon.
I'm like an earthworm. In one end,
melt together with another earthworm.
You can cut my head off, and I can still produce 2 worms.
Nice.
We've done it.
You've got 2 worms.
You like split it. It's like a hot dog. You just split it right down the middle.
And then you get 2.
Yeah, like a microwaved hot dog. It's exploded at the tip.
It's incredibly painful at first, but well worth it.
And then highly enjoyable to watch.
Well worth it.
No, yeah. What are we talking about?
Earthworms.
Oh, cutting James Wiener in half so he grows 2.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's where we left off. YouTube series seems smart.
I think that would be at least like the first like dip your toe in the water kind of move. Like, hey, can we make this work? Start with that and see what like the fan reaction is.
Yeah. It's from like looking at YouTube analytics too, like that's what a younger generation is following. Like they watch YouTube. And maybe things on Netflix or like they're going to watch everything streaming and it's usually in small bursts and small bits. Quote unquote small.
And it seems like Netflix, just to go off of one thing you said there, it seems like Netflix has started investing a lot more in shows that they're having produced.
Yeah.
Like those are longer shows, like half-hour shows, right? Series.
Right.
So that might be the right thing for the audience now. But to your point, is that the right thing for the future audiences? Right.
Well, and I think there's mediums in which it possibly can be longer, more engaging content, i.e. like bringing back the example of Sesame Street. It was a big thing this week with HBO purchasing, like they have the first rights. Like when Sesame Street produces an episode, like it's gonna be on HBO first, and then a little while later it'd be on PBS. But I think that's and knowing HBO, they just
does that mean there's gonna be Muppets with boobs?
I hope so. I mean,
like full frontal Muppets.
Oh yeah,
they don't call him Big Bird for nothing.
He got a big old dick.
Yeah. That's why he's called Big Bird.
Yeah. Right, Danny? I was just trying to spell it out for Snuffleupagus? The listeners at home.
Super tiny.
Snuffleupagus is a hermaphrodite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
that's Oscar. Why him and Big Bird hang out.
It's Oscar who's tiny in the garbage department.
That's why he likes
that's
all
why
them
he's so
worms.
Grouchy.
He's got on them
he,
worms,
he got,
too.
He got no much junk.
No.
What the fuck is an Elmo?
Nobody knows. He's a eunuch. Elmo is a 47-year-old eunuch.
And Cookie Monster just fucks anything that moves.
Oh, yeah.
Just Cookie Monster, I would call him a rapist.
An owl rapist?
Yeah. He likes the butt.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah. That's, I mean.
It's where the cookies are.
Yeah.
Cookies in your butt. Nom 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 nom. C is for cookie. Good enough for me.
C is for anal rape.
There's your episode title.
Yep. I think that one wins.
Can we put that on iTunes?
Yeah.
Well, now that we're on iTunes, we can do whatever.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's just that initial.
We done got established.
Although I do like sort of the vagueness associated with Never Skip Leg
Day. Never Skip the Legs.
Never Skip Leg Day.
We still got to get through all the other stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to.
No, we don't. That's at the beginning.
I mean, we already totally did that. This is pretty much the end of the podcast. We're almost done.
We totally are. I might forego our last question due to sake of time.
Yeah, just go.
All right.
Ask it, and then we won't answer it.
All right, we'll just leave it open. This is not meant to be ghoulish or weird in any way.
Darn.
But with the... I mean, it sounds strange. I wrote this question down a while ago.
Would you eat a person?
Would you eat...
It depends. Are they alive?
Would you eat or fuck a dead person?
Oh.
At the same time.
Do I have to pick one? And does it matter which
you
order?
Can do them both? I mean, I'm all
which
for
one
it.
Would I have to do first?
I mean,
how are you gonna think? Fuck it after you eat it?
I don't know.
Ian did have a real question.
Sorry, yeah, I bet you did. Ask your fucking
yeah. So it's not meant to be ghoulish, and I say that because
we're all men.
Yeah, we're all men. That's cool. Because Iwata just passed away a little while ago.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Does there need to be a management change? Like, is there, the management now is more than likely looking at current bottom line, current profits, et cetera. And this is for Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, like the big three, video game wise. I mean, obviously Microsoft, like, doing smart things with Phil Spencer at the helm now, because their Xbox One launch was not well, and Spencer came in and was like, yeah, it's a video game system. It should play video games. Let's get this straightened out. But he recognized that and knew like exactly the current way to sell things. Is that going to be a big portion of it? Is can current guard continue that momentum?
I think that, I mean, I don't know that much actually about Sony's leadership currently, but I feel like regardless of the game company, it's important to have someone who understands gamers at the helm, right, rather than somebody who is just...
So Sony, for the most part, has Shuhei Yoshida, which I feel fits that bill.
Right.
I mean, he's on podcasts frequently. By the way, Shuhei Yoshida, if you ever want to be on our podcast, it's like wide open.
But you got to drink a lot of beer.
We are wide open, and you got to drink a lot.
Yeah.
And that's also, you got to be okay with a lot of gay stuff.
Yeah.
Really gay.
A lot of gay stuff, a lot of lesbian stuff, a lot of bi stuff, a lot of androgynous stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of
trans cover stuff. The entire LGBT spectrum.
Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to this space. You just got to drink.
Except for you, furries. You stay the fuck away.
I like our one running theme. The open and welcoming podcast, except for you fucking furries, according
you
to Danny.
You fucking sick pieces.
James and
shit.
I are finally, like, I mean, you can hang with me and James. That's cool.
No, fuck cool. You guys. If I see you hanging around James and Ian, I will kill you.
You
James
can hang out. Just, like, don't look at me or touch me.
I don't want to smell you. Like, that's the thing.
I'll go in first. You can hang out. Like, seriously. Just let it hang out.
Can you imagine the smell of a furry
suit?
Right
on the table.
Can you just imagine the stank associated with the
furry suit? I would imagine it would be the smell of the people who are at California Extreme, but in a suit.
A lot of Fromundo.
Yeah, just it's that plus jizz.
Yeah, well, I mean,
someone who's just been rubbing up against some other furry until they fucking had it like a hot, dry rub up against somebody and fucking nutted all in their suit with their sweaty Cheeto dust.
I have a boner right now. Why do I have a boner?
I hate everything about you, James.
I have one too.
I've had one since we started. I don't know what that says.
I mean, it's still going. It's raging out of now.
Probably should.
I think it's a pre-epism at this point.
Probably should call
somebody. Yeah. This might be a question to leave open, or maybe even visit at a later date, or even consider as part of the continuing series. Would a change of management be necessary? Like, as the generations change, do you need somebody new looking at things? Or can the same person stay there? When can they stay there? When should they leave? Maybe leave that question open. I like that idea. Leave the podcast hanging a little bit.
Just like the farts in this garage.
Or a big furry wiener just hanging. We're going to get somebody dressed up as a horse. Come in here.
Yeah.
And
I'll record the next podcast wearing my horse mask.
I think that's the thing that you need to remember about gaming.
With a Y.
So I just started watching BoJack Horseman.
Is that a good show?
I like it so far. Also, Will Arnett is the lead character as a horse. So as you're doing that, I'm just imagining. I'm just imagining Will Arnett talking about horse mask. Oh Christ. So that's mascots. We got. We have a lot of things to look at, but I think mascots are playing a big part of it. And it's from the sound of it, it sounds like they will continue to play a part in it if the big three or whoever comes after them or whoever comes up alongside them plays it smart. But. James, you want to take us home?
Well, I'm.
What is it? Yeah,
we should say we should say Twitter handles.
We got to do Twitter.
We got to close out.
Yeah. I know who I am.
He knows what the fuck he's doing.
Okay, go.
Do I know who I am? You know who I am?
Do I know who I am?
So my name is James. You can find,
true.
You can find me on Twitter if you want.
Also true.
At Doodoo Monster.
Yeah, all three things were true.
Those are all true.
I verify this.
Bat in a thousand.
Politifact.com.
Over there is some asshole.
Hi, I'm Danny. Danny.
That's some asshole you got there.
You can find me at curly_mustache. No fucking O in it, you sons of bitches.
I didn't say anything this week.
Somebody's getting some follows.
The first podcast, I didn't say shit about it.
About fucking time, you
bag
of assholes.
Speaking of
bag of assholes, over there
we got that bag of asshole burritos right over here. My name is Ian. You can find me at TheSpaceIan on the Twitter. And please do.
So this has been. We're a lot. A lot bit drunk.
A lot bit drunk.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
I swallowed a lot of air.
Cue James fart noise.